Angela Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. Thanks for joining me today and for listening to RBN for people who can handle the truth. Their headquarters are at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You may subscribe to the RBN archives for only $1.33 per month by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Be sure to also visit RBN's Facebook page at facebook.com/republicbroadcasting. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, choose the year and month. You may see a list of the guests from last year, last week, this week, and next week, together with links to their websites. Diana Hunter now has her new website up, so you may want to check that out. She was on the program about a week ago. Just click on the link and look at her website. For questions or comments during the program, please email spingola1@yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com, but I don't access that regular email during the program. As you know, Dr. Mohammed Meraki, the author of Afghanistan After Democracy, The Untold Story Through Photographic Images, will be doing a book signing at the Frugal Muse Books. And their website is frugalmusebooks.com. They are located at 7511 Lamont Road in Darien, Illinois, 60561. And you may call them at 630-427-1140. The book signing is on Friday, January 13th. It is from 7 to 9 p.m., and I will be there and hope to see many of our listeners at that function. Our guest today is Michael Walsh, the author of The Triumph of Reason, The Thinking Man's Guide to Adolf Hitler, and it's a compilation of Adolf Hitler's statements. He also wrote Witness to History, now available on Kindle at Amazon. And he's written a lot of other things. He's a very, very interesting gentleman, and I really enjoy talking with him. And today we're going to talk about a couple of chapters in his book, Witness to History. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, Diana, and greetings to the American people.
Great. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
All righty. So we're going to be looking at Chapter 5, Life in Hitler's Germany, and Chapter 8, Peace Gets the Nelson's Eye. And, of course, every chapter in the book is just very crucial, very interesting. It's hard to pick out where to begin, but actually you can they're standalone chapters. You can look at each chapter as a regular essay or a regular article without, you know, you can read it consecutively from chapter one through the end, or pick out the chapters that you like first. Is that what you do when you read a book?
Well, you're very perceptive in saying that, Diana, because the beginning of the book, and we're going back a little while now, is I used to compile and print information sheets on the different issues that affected our relationships with National Socialist Germany at the time. And obviously I reached about 20, and we covered just about every subject that was a matter of some controversy. And then it occurred to me that, well, why don't we put it into one book format? So there you are. You're spot on. It is a compilation of many information brochures, and, you know, it's done very well since. And, of course, I've added to it immensely.
Great. All righty. We do have to take a real quick 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Michael Walsh. Stay tuned.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Our guest today is Michael Walsh, that's W-A-L-S-H, and we're going to talk about Chapter 5, and it's very interesting. We all have grown up with these horrid misconceptions about how life was, when in fact it wasn't as it has been characterized at all. And so pick it up, Michael.
Lily, right. When I was researching this particular subject, Diana, it occurred to me that we hear an awful lot, you know, the History Channel and all the rest of it, the news media and all the rest of it, we hear a lot about Nazi Germany, but you don't hear anything about National Socialist Germany between January 1933 and the outbreak of war 6 or 7 years later. Now, this is an amazing gap in our knowledge. To give you an example, let's imagine that in the European countries, or Germany for that matter, they were constantly getting propaganda about the United States, but it excluded everything good about the United States. It totally focused on the extermination of the American Indians. Now, this would be terribly unjust, and of course that doesn't happen. When we learn about America, we learn about its great history and its good points and its bad points, same as any other nation. But when you are covering the information that you're getting from the schools right the way through, till they put RIP after your name, there is a big vacuum. And the vacuum is, of course, is what was it like in Germany in those 6 or 7 years? And, of course, what was ordinary life like in Germany? We don't hear anything about. So what we are hearing in terms of this particular period of German history, we are actually getting about 5% of the information. So what is happening with the other 95%, and why is it being blue-penciled? I leave listeners to draw their own conclusions as to that blackout.
Wow. Well, it's definitely deliberate because you can't have anything good if you're going to paint the Nazi regime as they painted it, that it was absolutely the epitome of evil. And that is what we ordinarily think of when we hear the words Nazi regime. We think, oh, the worst people in the world. And, of course, this started long before World War II. It started even before World War I. I mean, there was a lot of propaganda during and just before World War I about how terrible they were, about the terrible Huns, and even Hollywood pitched in their efforts with all the movies that were made by a particular ethnic group who just vilified all of the Germans. So it was they were targeted long before World War II.
Yeah, well, of course, Diana. Many of the newsreel footage that Americans are seeing even today about Nazi concentration camps was actually made in America. And, you know, this is a fact, and it has been admitted. So they're not looking at Germany. They're not looking at German concentration camps. What they're looking at is film sets. But getting back to the period, January 1933 to September 1939, when war broke out, and even after that, Diana, it has to be remembered that what the German people had achieved in a very, very short time is what the Americans describe as the American dream. There were job opportunities, there was no shortage of jobs whatsoever. Everybody could go on holiday because they were mostly paid for or subsidized by the state. Everybody had disposable cash, so it was certainly, without any shadow of doubt, one of the happiest people on earth. There were clean and crime-free neighborhoods. The kids went to good schooling. And, you know, this was a time when, in my own home country of Britain, then people worked extremely hard throughout the year. We're talking about 12-hour days in workplaces where there was no protection whatsoever. That protection was provided in National Socialist Germany. But the best that people could look forward to once a year was a week in a seaside resort like Blackpool, which are, quite frankly, very, very tacky. I've got no doubt that you've got your American equivalents. And this was sad. When I compare, you know, anybody can do it, it's all online now. When I compare the lives of ordinary people in America during the Great Depression, of course, and in Britain, right the way throughout Britain, from Land's End to John O'Groats, those people led pretty awful lives. Nobody would want to go back to that period. But doesn't it make you think when we remember, if we're told, that at that time the ordinary German workers were enjoying holidays, even cruises abroad, that even the middle classes can't afford any more in the United States and in Europe. Many people here couldn't afford to go on a cruise, but ordinary people, and we're talking 70 years ago, were able to go on cruises around the Mediterranean. You know, it really did build, it's pretty close to it now. Adolf Hitler would probably disagree with me, I have his words here. He doesn't claim that Germany was a paradise, but he does claim quite truthfully that it is one of the happiest, most peaceful, prosperous countries on earth, and it is difficult to dispute that.
Wow. Well, you know, I've read this and also looked at other research, and the differences between, as you've mentioned, between what was happening in this country, where people were standing in bread lines, where people were without a job, and yet the infrastructure here was also beginning to decay at that time. There were people who still had outhouses, you know, without indoor plumbing during the 30s. in this country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There were desperate times, and this is a time when in Britain you've got social security system now, but you know, some of the stories I heard from my own mother and father, I'm not surprised that they were extremely left-wing. I grew up in a household where I could sing the Red Flag before I could recite the words of Little Bo Peep. My father was an associate of your Ernest Hemingway, and my mother was a correspondent with Dolores Ebero, the leader of the Republican movement during the Spanish Civil War. So that was the kind of background, the home background that I grew into. So, of course, I can understand in some ways people when they were under the ravages of capitalism, as they were at the turn of the century, turning to communism as an alternative. And, of course, people did. But, of course, we were enlightened as the years went on. And so, incidentally, were my mother. She tore her Communist Party card up in 1956 and wouldn't have anything to do with them. She said that it was the biggest mistake of my life. And as far as I'm concerned, a jackboot is a jackboot, whether it's got a German or a Russian foot in it. And I admire her principles for it. So that was my sort of background. So, as you can imagine, I was pretty negative about National Socialist Germany, about Adolf Hitler, about the whole so-called regime. But, of course, I became curious, and, as I say, I did find a country that had not only aspired to the American dream, but had achieved it, whereas America and Britain, Europe, has yet to reach the social benefits that the National Socialist Germany did during those years. And I think that that is a tragedy, because this is mankind falling back. It's not progress at all, it's a regression. And the living standards and the state of unemployment and the poverty that we're seeing today, before I left England, I kid you not, I saw elderly men who were probably old enough to have fought in the war against National Socialist Germany in the skip bins behind the supermarkets, looking in there for discarded food. Who's going to call that progress? I'm not going to call that progress. I would say that that was much more like a return to the Middle Ages, which, of course, this is very much what Britain resembles today, Deanna.
Wow. Well, you know, communism and capitalism were both actually created by the same group of people, and neither of them are good for the people. And yet National Socialism, although we've been taught to think of it as a terrible system, really was the most beneficial for the citizens of the country.
And proven so. This has not been the case of communism, of course, and now it stands exposed. And, of course, all those who did back it and secretly back it today, they can't show us any good examples of it, and simply because there are no good examples of communism. This is why it disappeared. It just went bankrupt. It just couldn't survive. But nobody can point the finger at National Socialist Germany and say that the German people did not vote overwhelmingly. They did vote overwhelmingly for their leader. It was a much more democratic and accountable voting electoral system than we have in Britain or America. The right man got the job. And as I said before, one of the great ironies of this so-called war of the dictators was not their war at all. They fought a defensive war to protect what they had created. But of course, we had a similar situation with Libya, but that's another story.
All righty. Let's go to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Michael Walsh. Stay tuned.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation that comes and goes. If you're not having normal bowel movements every day, you can suffer from a buildup of toxins that cause upset stomach, constipation, excess gas, or intestinal discomfort. Plus, you could be holding up to 4.5 pounds of fecal waste if you're going to the bathroom only once a day. Even more unwanted weight if you're going less often. But now there's ColonFlow. Non-prescription ColonFlow is scientifically formulated with key ingredients to help restore normal bowel function. And you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We're looking for participants to receive a free 30-day trial, so call immediately. All-natural ColonFlow works gently with your body to eliminate toxic waste and maintain your regularity. ColonFlow is being released to the general public, and your area has been selected to try it right now for free. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now.
Call 888-446-3902. That's 888-446-3902.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Michael Walsh, and you were talking about, you mentioned Libya, which is another country that is a different story, but very similar to the one that we can compare it to Germany. Because they had built up this wonderful country. And, of course, the bankers and others couldn't have that because then all the other countries in Europe would follow suit and do the same thing.
You know, he may have called it a different form of revolution, but when you look at what Gaddafi introduced to Libya, he may have been following the rule book of the National Socialist way of doing things. There was virtually no taxation on anything. As I've said before, Americans and British and Germans today, on everything they buy, 40% of it goes into the banks. Gaddafi got rid of them. He followed the example of Adolf Hitler. He got away from these, and Hungary is doing exactly the same now. So it was a revolution against the banks. It wasn't paid for, as the communist revolution was, by the banks. It was against the banks, and that is one of the critical differences between National Socialism and communism. Communism was the hijacking of a nation by imported or revolutionaries that were paid for by Wall Street banks. They were there for a reason, and that is to reduce the entire population of Russia and later on the satellite nations to penury slavery so that the banks could benefit. And of course they did. And one of the direct consequences of this was the 7 million who were killed by genocide, a deliberate starvation in the Ukraine. But Gaddafi again, There was low-cost housing. There was all kinds of benefits for people who worked on the land. All of the benefits were there that you could find in National Socialist Germany. And again, what we saw, Diana, was an action replay, is somebody had bucked the system. They had suffered, as Iran has, a constant stream of abuse from the West, sanctions and all the rest of it. In the end, they didn't work, and they did exactly to Gaddafi what they did to Adolf Hitler's democratic government in 1939. With Gaddafi, they sent NATO in, and back in 1939, they sent Britain and France in, and the rest is, of course, history, or as much as we are allowed to know about history.
Right. Right. And you talked about the unemployment, or at least your book talks about the unemployment that was eliminated and how they did it, and that, I mean, it's just, they worked on infrastructure, they worked on railways, roads, public building projects, and some of those are still extant there. The Autobahn, I mean, everybody had a car. It was amazing.
That's right, and one of the interesting things is, if you look at footage of the time, word is again, going back to the Soviet Union, on all of these heavy civil engineering projects, you will see that the majority of the workers are women. Now, when you look at the civil engineering projects being carried out in National Socialist Germany, you will not, or very, very rarely, see a woman in overalls. If she is, she's in engineering. He realized and he recognized the fact that whilst the genders are absolutely equal in every respect, that women are not as physically strong as men. We can't argue with that. And so there were certain trades in which it wasn't necessary, unless by choice, for women to work in. So these enormous civil engineering projects, not all of which we are told about, I would recommend any of your listeners to go to Berchtesgaden and persist, because even when you are in the village at the bottom of the valley, if you ask for Eagle's Nest, they keep quiet about it, even though I can't speak for your own location. I don't know Chicago, for instance, as well as you do. But even though Eagle's Nest is just a bus ride away, they keep quiet about it. And yet, despite this complete and absolute blackout, that pilgrimage consists of about several thousand people every single day to go to one of the greatest engineering projects that was ever carried out in the 20th century. I have been there several times, and it is a road that was built up the mountain, and I tell you that you really need to wear some warm clothing even in August. As you go up there, the forests start looking like somebody's lawn, and there comes a period when you are above the clouds, and there are streams of buses. Once you get up there, and of course, they have to provide for all of those people who are basically pilgrimages to see Eagle's Nest, the house that was built for Adolf Hitler, which they have flattened for his 50th birthday. It is one of the greatest engineering feats, but again, if you check it out, you won't see any women working on it. It is all men. You know, it was terrific. And, you know, even today, the stadium is there. I was in Nuremberg, and at the time, the stadium was still there simply because it was a bit like the Sphinxes or the pyramids. It was just too big. It was just too grand to destroy. It just simply wasn't here. Possible. They had tried to dynamite it and everything, but the blocks, the granite blocks that were used to build this magnificent stadium, were built by German men.
Wow.
Because you can handle the truth.
Sometimes you don't eat right and your body doesn't function correctly. On a day-to-day basis, your body needs a lot more than you think. But to do that, it's almost impossible. What can you do? Daniel chapter 1's 1 Kings formula. Tested, tried, and true. And an obvious favorite among the many Daniel chapter 1's customers. Why? Because 1 Kings has dozens of vitamins, nutrients, good carbs, protein, everything you need all in a delicious mix. It comes in two delicious flavors, chocolate or vanilla. And they're instantly bioavailable. That means that as soon as you drink it, within a few minutes, those nutrients are working. For lack of a better term, 1 Kings is pre-digested, so it's instant. Mix in water or juice, and your body is using it immediately. Get 1 Kings. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. Use promo code 100A for a discount. That's 100A.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
The Empower Network has already generated over $1.5 million of 100% commissions in its first 5 weeks of operation, and the money just keeps on growing. Do you want your unfair share? Go to 9OccupyWealth.com. That's 9OccupyWealth.com. Do not let the economy or the job market determine your success. Now you can surf the waves of wealth with a few clicks to the Empower Network. Go to 9OccupyWealth.com. Join today and learn how to get your first 100% commission deposited directly into your bank account. Are you ready for your personal game changer? Are you ready to earn 100% commissions? You need to immediately take advantage of the biggest opportunity you may ever have. Just go to 9OccupyWealth.com. All the information is on the website, 9OccupyWealth.com. That's 9OccupyWealth.com.
Guest today is Michael Walsh, and you were talking about the stones in the stadium and that they just simply could not destroy such a grand facility.
Yeah, that's right, and there is plenty of evidence, and you know there is such a fascination for National Socialist Germany, not by the general public because they're negative about it, but for those who have dug a little deeper, or they're simply not political, they just admire the system for all that it stood for. There are tour guides who take people around the great buildings and the rest of the structure that was built by the National Socialists. So it's proving very, very difficult to destroy. And again, we were talking about the employment issues there, and this did affect the United States at the time, because when Adolf Hitler was elected to lead the German nation in January of 1933, there were 6 million people unemployed. Now, 6 million people, you're talking about probably four times that number of people who were suffering the extremes of deprivation, because, of course, there was no social security. So if the breadwinner of the home was not working, then the wife and the children were not eating. And it was a terrible period for Germany before Adolf Hitler's election. And 3 years later, not only was the full employment in National Socialist Germany, but they were actually giving incentives to those who had retired to return to work, obviously in non-strenuous occupations, management and that sort of thing, simply because there were more jobs going begging than there were people to take them. And Czechoslovakia, that's an interesting story again. He wanted to, Adolf Hitler wanted, he thought that Czechoslovakia as one nation, of two people, quite ridiculous, which was created by the Versailles Treaty and before that. He thought it was an absurdity, which of course it was. And it was quite amusing to me when decades, many decades later, the European Union did exactly what Adolf Hitler had recommended they do back in the 1930s. And that's how the Czech Republic and the Slovak Republic. And at the time, of course, this was an independent country. Of course, you had the Sudetenland there and you had a large German population there. And these people used to happily be recruited to come and work in the Reich, simply because in their own country, which was, of course, not National Socialist, it was part of the capitalist regime, there was very little work for them. So they were more than happy to come from Austria, what we now know as Slovakia and the Czech Republic, into the Reich to do work. And they supplied in Alsace and other places. And the Germans were actually encouraging German-Americans to come home and bring their skills back with them because they were desperately needed in the German Republic.
That is just amazing. Just amazing.
You know, this is the gap that we were talking about, Diana. You know, these are the gaps in people's knowledge, and I think it's interesting to know, it is undoubtedly interesting to know about Germany during that period, but what I find, and perhaps it's me, is much more interesting is the reasons why this very large period of the National Socialist system being in place, they were in place for 11 years, 12 years, 1933, January 1933, until, of course, May 1945. That's quite a long time, and yet all we hear is about 2 years of it during the end. And, you know, people should really ask themselves why this should be the case. You know, you just imagine picking up a newspaper, and it's got, let's say, for instance, 36 pages, and then you've paid for your newspaper, and then you open up the pages, and you find that of the 36 of them, 30 of them are blank. You're going to say, well, yeah, my news is being censored here. Well, that's exactly what you're getting from CNN and Fox and in Britain, Fleet Street. That's what you're getting. You're getting a very, very small part of German history, and even that is based on total spin.
Exactly. And it's spin just to make them look bad so that they would end up paying again reparations and all kinds of other fees. And, of course, they were occupied until, well, they're still occupied.
Yeah, this is, I believe, I won't go into the technicalities of it, and I'm sure your listeners won't wish me to do so, but under international law, the German government today, the constitution is illegal, and that makes the German government today of Angela Merkel illegal under international law, and she is not the legitimate leader of Germany, but you know, it's the victors who make the rules, isn't it?
Yes. I'll say they make the rules. They impose the people that they want who will obey, go along with the agenda of the bankers, and that's how it is. And that's how it is in the Middle East. You know,
well, again, that's right, Diana. We're getting spoon-fed their take on it, and this was one of the very first things that made me take a closer look at National Socialist Germany, simply because there were contradictions. There were just too many contradictions, which just simply didn't add up. So that was, of course, when I started delving into it, and the consequences are, as 46 years later, I've published quite a number of books on the period, which have been very, very well received.
And rightly so, because what you say makes sense. I mean, you're a critical thinker. You've delved into this, and we had a listener of. A fellow out in California who has a friend that he has tried so hard to get him to understand some of what you have taught, what you've written, and people are so brainwashed, they just won't even look at the other side. They just simply, you know, they're just focused on what they've been taught, and they're inflexible.
I don't know if you've heard the saying, Deanna, is none so deaf as those who will not see. There are some people who will not listen simply because they actually fear the truth. You know, especially ex-servicemen or those whose family were servicemen who fought in World War II, they're pretty impervious to anything but the propaganda to which they've been fed, because who wants to know that a member or members of their family died as a result of a lie? We don't. We would prefer the comfort of living with a lie. I remember you Americans have got some wonderful turns of phrases, and I particularly remember one. He said, "It's like trying to tell somebody it's raining. They won't listen to you, but they won't go out and have a look." That's how frustrating it is.
Sure. And, of course, I think you can apply this same principle to the people that are going over to the Middle East now. Of course they're not going to want to look at the truth, because so many people have died, so many people have lost legs, and you know, they're coming back with all of these problems. They don't want to know that it was all for naught, that it was all for a lie. Nobody wants to be fooled. They don't want to recognize, they don't want to acknowledge that they've been lied to, because it's saying, you know, I didn't stop and think, I just accepted and look at the situation I'm in now. What a terrible thing.
Yeah, let's face it, Deanna, it takes a pretty big man to go up to Vietnam and suffer the way the American GIs did in Vietnam and other parts of the world. And, of course, it takes a pretty big man to do some of the wars that, since 1945, Britain has been involved in, Burma, Malaya and Kenya and all the rest of it. And who wants to know? It takes an even bigger man to admit that he got it wrong. And Adolf Hitler, he echoed the words of Samuel Pope when he said, you know, why not admit that you're wrong? Because all it's doing at the end of the day is proving that you're smarter today than you were yesterday. We've all made mistakes in life. I have made mistakes. It's a human condition. But okay, if you've been to Vietnam or any of the other wasteful wars waged by the White House, not by America, by the White House and the Stooges in Israel, then, yeah, I feel sorry, and I look up to these guys. You know, their bravery and their suffering and their endurance will go down in history as being a great struggle. But was it a good struggle? And this is something I think that they and the British need to come to terms with, as the French do, because, of course, the French were in Indochina before the Americans were. It was a big mistake. They were in Algeria. It was a big mistake. Put your hand up. It was a mistake. And do something about it. That would be the best way to God, I think, is for somebody who has fought in an illegal war, is to put their hands up and educate the young people so that they do not get involved in illegal wars like those in Afghanistan, Iraq, and, God forbid, Iran.
Yeah, and I'm afraid it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's looking that way, and, you know, whatever way it stacks up, as again, we're comparing the National Socialist system of 70 years ago to today, but, you know, there are so many similarities. If you look at global politics now, the Americans want to hem Russia in. They were not happy with Russia and China muscling in on the Mediterranean, which they had every right to, especially as it was heading for Latin, you know, the ships were heading for Latin America and the west coast of Africa. And now if the Russians are denied their bases, they already have been in Libya, if they're denied their base in Syria, then this really does blockade Russia into the Black Sea. And I don't think Russia is going to, you know, allow themselves to be hemmed in by that. Or rather, they're extremely foolish if they do. And the repercussions of Syria falling, and the President Assad is absolutely right, there is a foreign hand behind these revolutionaries. And if Syria does fall, I'm sorry, but you're probably talking Poland again. And we're going to get a worldwide conflict. Although, because of the advances, if you can call it that, in weaponry and the destructive power, as the Second World War accounted for many, many more dead than the destructive First World War, you ain't seen nothing yet until the Third World War breaks out. And you're going to see millions die.
What a thought. What a thought.
It is seismic.
Yes. I just think of these wars as, you know, there's a period in between them, but I just think of them as constant revolution, which is what the planners wanted. Constant revolution and destruction.
That's right. The lobbyists are in the United States. And, you know, this is when you come to lobbyists, who these are the salesmen who are selling to congressmen and senators, and in Europe to the members of parliament and members of European parliament. These are the guys in the sharp suits who are selling them these weapons, and they're giving them all kinds of backhanders. And they're also giving many of the politicians shares in their armaments factories. And so it is in their own interest to ignite the fears in these people as to the reasons why they need to be, well, they will label it as defensive. We know it as offensive towards these countries. And really, if the United States people, if the American people start taking a closer look, if they're allowed to take a closer look at themselves, seen through the eyes of the rest of the world, was it Robbie Burns who said, the greatest gift that God can give us is to see ourselves as others see us? If the American people and the British people start seeing themselves through the eyes of the rest of the world, they're going to discover that America and Britain in particular, and obviously Israel, that should go without saying, are regarded as the real rogue nations. They are loose cannons, and the world fears these three countries more than it fears the rest of the world. Now, that is pretty frightening, and it is something that really should make Americans think about the government that they have.
Exactly. I agree with you. Let's talk, getting back to Germany, let's talk about how families lived. Talk about children and how they were perceived, and about women and some of the benefits that they have, that in our own country, in America, our women, most of them are working. Not only do they have to take care of a home, they're out in a regular job, and then they have to come home and do all the rest of the stuff. And this is basically to benefit the bankers and the people who are extracting income taxes. This is not for the benefit of the family. In fact, it's incredibly destructive for the family. And in Germany, it was not like that. During that 15-year period, that 12-year period of time, it was not like that.
Well, I always said that we're going back quite a while now, given my age away, but this women's liberation and women's equality was one of the biggest confidence tricks of the 20th century. And, of course, it did sound very, very appealing. It meant that job opportunities that had been formerly open either to majority of the men or women were excluded, like firemen and policewomen and all the rest of it, were open for grabs. There was a very, very cunning methodology about this, and that was really a household should have only one breadwinner. A woman's job, if you don't mind me being sexist, a woman's job, she has her hands full in bringing up the family. That is the way nature made her, and it is my belief, as it was Adolf Hitler's, is it is man's to be the breadwinner. So they wanted to deprive the household of a woman's love. And
Michael, could you hold on to that thought? We do have to take a quick break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Have you been diagnosed with cancer and told that there isn't any alternative to chemo, radiation, and surgery? Are you tired of hearing that if you want to survive, you must be brave and accept the suffering that comes with cancer treatments today? LaserMed Inc. says, fight back! Because now it's cancer's turn to die with its revolutionary patented laser treatment called Leash Therapy. Without cutting, bleeding, poisoning, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin and breast cancer in place, as well as some other types of cancer, no matter what the size. To find out if you qualify for this therapy, call 918-398-9577. That's 918-398-9577. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's LASEMEDINC.com.
Our guest is Michael Walsh, and you were talking about a woman's place, and I totally agree with your views. I think it's better for the family, It's just better.
Well, as I just said, while we were taking that break, Deanna, I was just making a couple of notes and referring to a couple, and, you know, I was talking about it being a confidence trick on women because we've seen the consequences of women going to work, a woman's role in my and Adolf Hitler's opinion was to raise a family. Now we have got children totally out of control because they don't have the discipline. And of course we've got more divorce these days and separations and all the rest of it. And this is a direct consequence. And the comment that I've just picked up on here while we're taking that break is one that was made by Adolf Hitler. And he says, the phrase emancipation of women is only an invention of the Jewish intellect, and its content is stamped with the same spirit. In the really good periods of German life, the German women never needed to emancipate herself. Now, that is so deep and true. Women were given equality, and but it was a controlled quality. Now, if I needed to explain that, I would again quote the German leader. I give women the same rights as men, but I do not think that they are the same to the one as to the other. The woman is the life partner of the man. She ought not to be burdened with the tasks for which man alone is made. But in every case where women do not marry, and there are many in Germany owing to the shortage of men, they had the right to earn their living just the same way as any other man. Now, this was in Paris, in January 26, 1936, 3 years after he was elected to power. But the National Socialist State refuses to admit female labour in factories merely because such labour is cheap. There is, of course, a certain amount of industrial work which can only be performed by women, but an essential condition is that this sort of work should not be injurious to their health. Now, would you get that in the United States or the European Union today? Of course you wouldn't.
Right. Well, early in this country, they had children working 18 hours a day in factories in the North. I mean, this was terrible.
Well, you're absolutely right again. In National Socialist Germany, there was no question about it, child labour was prohibited. Even when they got older, the hours of work that they were working was very strictly regulated, as was the nature of the work that they were doing. And you're absolutely right. In Britain at the same time, and presumably in the rest of Europe, apart from National Socialist Germany, of course, it was commonplace to have 12-year-olds and 11-year-olds working in the fields. Very ordinary, just as they were in the Soviet Union. Everybody took it as normal. But these child labourers, which you do have in the United States and in Britain today, that was banned under the National Socialist system of government.
I'm right, right. And basically, I've read some books about white slavery, and not only were the children in Britain like 12 or 13, we're talking little kids, 5 and 6 years old, who were forced to go into chimneys as chimney sweeps, and they would die with you know, early deaths because of the environment that they were exposed to. It's terrible. We do have to take our top of the hour 1 minute break. We will be right back in 1 minute with our guest today, Michael Walsh. So stay tuned.